Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode follows the career of John Frankenheimer, the groundbreaking director who teamed up with Burt Lancaster. I hope you enjoy the show. Question. Who drove Robert F. Kennedy to the Ambassador's Hotel in Los Angeles, where he was shot? Question. Who was considered for the part of James Bond in Dr. No? Question. Who did Sir Dirk Bogarde nickname Frankenstein? Question. Who directed 6 Oscar-nominated actors? Question. Whose favourite actor was Robert Mitchum? Answer. John Michael Frankenheimer, born in Queens, New York in 1930, the son of a stockbroker. He wanted to be a tennis player when he was young, and he tried to become an actor, but after being accepted into the motion picture squadron in Burbank in the early 50s, he discovered the movie camera. On discharge from the military, he began a career in TV in 1953, convincing CBS to hire him as an assistant director. He learned his craft on the job and directed 152 TV shows between 1954 and 1960. His first feature was The Young Stranger in 1957. Here's Leonard Rosenman's opening credits theme. Frankenheimer wasn't too impressed with movie direction. He didn't like working with just one camera and went back to TV until he tried again in 1961 when he made The Young Savages with Burt Lancaster. Lancaster arrived on set on day one to find the camera on the floor pointing upwards, which he'd never seen before, and thought Frankenheimer didn't know what he was doing. Once he'd seen the finished film, Lancaster realised how innovative a director he was working with, and they ended up making 5 films together. In fact, Lancaster was instrumental in Frankenheimer replacing Arthur Penn on The Train. Here's David Amram's music from The Young Savages.
Thank you.
Burt Lancaster began work on Birdman of Alcatraz with Charles Crichton directing, but Burt, who was also producing, asked Frankenheimer to take over. They ended up with a 4.5-hour movie, but Frankenheimer convinced Lancaster it should be cut down, and after reshoots it became the classic it is today. Meanwhile, he'd made All Fall Down with Warren Beatty and Eva Marie Saint. After detesting one another during the making of The Young Savages, Lancaster and Frankenheimer had become a successful filmmaking partnership. Frankenheimer was invited to direct Breakfast at Tiffany's with Audrey Hepburn, but she hadn't heard of him and wasn't interested. He became available and made The Manchurian Candidate, starring Frank Sinatra, Laurence Harvey and Janet Leigh. It was a dystopian vision of the world, but gripping and highly plausible. Here's David Amram's theme. Next came Frankenheimer's third movie with Lancaster, 7 Days in May, another bleak but powerful view on the world as it was then, with Burt, Kirk Douglas, Frederick March, Ava Gardner and Edmund O'Brien. It hypothesised a military takeover of a president keen on nuclear disarmament. Here's the unexpected opening credits music by Jerry Goldsmith. Thank you. And here's a snippet of Bert as a saber-rattling military man lecturing the president.
It covers your plan for the military overthrow of the United States government.
I presume, Mr. President, you're prepared to back up that charge?
I am prepared to brand you for what you are, General. A strutting egoist with a Napoleonic power complex. And an out-and-out traitor. I know you think I'm a weak sister, General. But when it comes to my oath of office, depending the Constitution of the United States...
Somebody has to teach me how to salute a flag.
Somebody has to teach you about the democratic processes that that flag represents.
But don't you presume to take on that job, Mr. President. Because, frankly, you're not qualified. Your course of action in the past year has bordered on criminal negligence. This treaty with the Russians is a violation of any concept of security. You're not a weak sister, Mr. President. You're a criminally weak sister. And if you want to talk about your oath of office... I'm here to tell you face to face, President Lyman, that you violated that oath when you stripped this country of its muscles, when you deliberately played upon the fear and fatigue of the people and told them they could remove that fear by the stroke of a pen. And then when this nation rejected you, lost its faith in you, and began militantly to oppose you, you violated that oath by simply not resigning from office and turning this country over to someone who could represent the people of the United States.
And that would be General James Mattoon Scott, wouldn't it?
The same year, 1964, Burt Lancaster began making The Train, with Arthur Penn directing, but it soon became clear their visions weren't the same, and Frankenheimer replaced Penn as director. The film was shot entirely on location in France, and is the story of the efforts of the French resistance to stop the Nazis shipping out art treasures at the end of the war. Here's the opening titles theme by Maurice Jarre.
Thank you.
It's one of the best train films ever made and allowed Lancaster a success after the disappointment of The Leopard the year before. Jean Moreau makes a nice cameo appearance too. In 1966, Frankenheimer made Seconds with Rock Hudson about a man who sets about faking his own death. It wasn't as complete a success as his other film that year, Grand Prix, and has since become a cult classic. Frankenheimer said of it, "It's the only movie, really, that's ever gone from failure to classic without ever having been a success." This is Jerry Goldsmith's theme. Grand Prix starred James Garner and was hot box office on release. Funnily enough, Steve McQueen was the preferred lead actor, but he had a fallout with the film's producer and instead made his own racing film, Le Mans, in 1971. Garner and McQueen were next-door neighbours. Here's Maurice Jarre's overture. Yeah. The next few years were up and down for Frankenheimer. He made 8 films over the next 6 years with some of the biggest stars of the time, but there were no box office hits. He had to wait until 1975, when he made French Connection 2 with Gene Hackman to come back big. The action was transported from New York to France and is probably the best sequel that's ever been made. Hackman is superb as Popeye Doyle as he continues his search for Alain Charnier, played again by Fernando Rey. Here's Don Ellis's main title theme. Two years later, in 1977, came Black Sunday, a great action thriller about a terrorist plot to blow up the president at the Super Bowl. Robert Shaw and Bruce Dern are the protagonists and are both excellent. John Williams provided a fine score, and here's the main title theme. Unfortunately, it didn't do well at the box office, and Frankenheimer turned to alcohol for support. He entered rehab after finishing The Challenge in Japan in 1982 with Scott Glenn and Toshiro Mifune. His films in the 1980s were many, but without success, although 52 Pickup, based on an Elmore Leonard novel and starring Roy Scheider and Anne Margaret, did pretty well in 1986. He returned to his beloved TV for a while and then hit pay dirt with Ronin, a well-written espionage thriller starring Robert De Niro in 1998. This is Elia Miral's atmospheric theme. Following the success of Ronin, Frankenheimer was offered to direct Exorcist: The Beginning, but his health faltered and Paul Schrader had to take over the project. Frankenheimer died suddenly a month later in Los Angeles of a stroke following complications after spinal surgery. I'm going to read you one of his quotes about his filmmaking. "Many of my films concern the individual trying to find himself in society and trying to maintain his individuality in a mechanized world. I do feel that society wants everybody to be exactly the same. It's so much easier. I think the theme of the indomitability of the human spirit is very much there, and the fight against regimentation. When we talk about life, my philosophy is that you have to live your life the way it is. You can change it, but you can't change who you are or what you've done before, and you have to live with that." I think John Frankenheimer was someone who could look back with satisfaction at his career. He has left us a fine body of work, and I hope, like me, you enjoy it. I'll leave you with the end title music from The Challenge by Jerry Goldsmith.